In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. It is with great joy and gratitude that I stand before you today, along with my husband, Kirk. 10 years ago this month, you all laid hands on our family, Kirk, me, Rand, and John, as you prayed over us and sent us to the next part of the journey that God was calling us to in our move to San Antonio. Later that summer, you would again gather around and lay hands on our oldest son, Rand, as he would be sent to Belarus for 3 years as a missionary both of Good Shepherd and of the diocese. And then 7 years ago on May 27th, I knelt right here on these steps as the bishop laid hands on me and ordained me to the diaconate, surrounded by you, the people that had formed me from birth. And so while we have been blessed to be back here on several occasions, I cannot tell you what a humbling honor it is to be able to share the message of the good news of Jesus Christ on the day of Pentecost. That day where 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, upon Jesus' ascension, he promises that we will never be alone, that God will send the Holy Spirit to dwell within us and among us. So how exciting it is for me to share that good news with you and among you. Now, as I was preparing St. David for where I would be on this day and who would be with them, they remember those words. First of all, I tell them I love them all the time. They know that. And they remember those words that I also say, that there is nothing that you can ever tell me that will change my love for you. And they take that very seriously. And so all this week, I had either emails or phone calls or face-to-face visits with people that said, I know you asked us to pray for you, that you would be praying for us. But knowing how much you love the people of Good Shepherd, knowing how passionate you are about preaching, and knowing how excited you get when you talk about the Spirit, we're actually praying for them. So you all are being prayed for by the people of St. David's. Now, I don't know if many of you realize the depth and length of connection between Good Shepherd and St. David's. I am the 7th rector of that wonderful church, and 4 out of the 7 rectors come from Good Shepherd, including the founding priest, Bob McGee. And with each priest that came from here to there, there has been a legacy of tradition that have come from Good Shepherd that have found their way into the tradition of St. David's, including those that I have brought. And the other great blessing and connection is that St. David's is also a church that has a school. And so what a gift it has been for me, who began my journey with St. James as a 2nd grader, all the way through teaching religion to the 6th grade, has that gift and that formation from you all and this place to then offer freely to St. David's Church and school. What a gift. God is so good about always reminding us that we are part of something so much bigger than ourselves. Now, many of you know I was born and raised right here at Good Shepherd. And from birth on, my parents raised me to be a faithful churchgoer. And that held true as I went off to Hockaday and Dallas in high school and continued through SMU. And then continued on in my marriage to Kirk as we were married right there. Obedient and faithful churchgoers. And we raised our children right here in the midst of you all to be faithful churchgoers. I was obedient. I could sing, so I sang in the choir. Kirk and I worked with the youth. We taught Sunday school. And then we both, before we left for San Antonio, had the blessing to work part-time on this staff. And I was obedient to God. And I had a deep conviction of faith in God and a belief in Jesus Christ. But I had never allowed myself to dig deep to figure out what it meant to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, much less even having the words to talk about it. Well, God decided to change that dramatically. Father's Day weekend of 1998, my husband and I were on our Crucio weekend with many friends from Good Shepherd. And on Eucharist that Sunday morning outside, my life was changed forever. Because I could just feel God literally moving in me and through me, and my heart being opened up and ignited. And all of a sudden, I was so aware of the presence of God. And I thought to myself, is this what they mean by being slain in the Spirit? What is going on with me? Or am I just overly exhausted? So the only thing I could do was just cry, which is not something I do that often. Hours of crying. Kirk looked over to make sure I was actually okay, and then just let me be. And I realized that God wanted my heart to be open, to be passionate about sharing my faith. That while God loved me being obedient, God more longed for me to be on fire, to be the church, to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Well, I still didn't quite comprehend what that meant, and later that day, I had the opportunity to share that experience with Bishop Foltz. And as he listened in the midst of my still blubber, he looked at me with that little funny smile that Bishop Foltz gets, and then he just leaned in. And I mean, he got like right here. Right, and we looked eye to eye and nose to nose. And he grabbed me by the shoulders and he said, "Do not be afraid. The Holy Spirit got you. Always has, is now, and always will. Go wherever the Spirit leads you to go. You will never be alone. The Spirit is in you." And those words resounded to me in me from that day to the present day. And I began to think about the way that God had moved in our lives, that called us to more than we could ever ask or imagine. That courage to be strong and to grieve and to heal when my mother died. That gift of joy and hope at our marriage. And that gift of awe and wonder at the birth of our children. The Holy Spirit has still got me, and the Holy Spirit has each of you, always has, and always will. The Spirit dwells in us, and we are invited to dwell in the Spirit. It is a mutual invitation to indwell with God, God in us, and us in God. It's the Holy Spirit that gives us the courage to form relationships with people and to go to places that we could never imagine God sending us. It's the Holy Spirit that gives us the courage and the love and the compassion to show up in the times of the shadow of death. Those deaths that are holy and peaceful. Those deaths that are excruciatingly painful. And those deaths for which there is no easy answer, no comforting explanation. The Spirit empowers us with words of love and peace and presence. And when there are no words, the Holy Spirit uses our hands to comfort and our eyes to look into the eyes of those who are hurting with love and with faithfulness. It's the Holy Spirit that empowers us to go spread the gospel to those who are abused, oppressed, starving spiritually, starving literally, and letting them know that they are deeply, unconditionally loved by God and loved by us. It's the Holy Spirit that empowers us to ask for forgiveness when we have inflicted hurt on another, when it would be so much easier just to stand firm in the belief that we are right. It's the Holy Spirit that moves our heart to be humble and vulnerable enough to say yes when someone asks us to forgive them, when it would be so much easier to walk away. It's the Holy Spirit that empowers us to be in conversation and to be the church when fear or doubt overcomes us, or we disapprove or we're confused by someone's behavior or beliefs. It's the Holy Spirit that calls us to say yes to walking alongside them on the journey. Now, the Holy Spirit does not only work in us individually. The Holy Spirit works in community, together. When we come together as hands and feet of Jesus, and we show up to be the church, it's the Holy Spirit that empowers us to know that we need to show up and be ready to commit. We will when someone is baptized, because we know that we can never live into those promises on our own. It's the Holy Spirit that calls us to surround two people getting married and commit to support them on their journey and life together. It's the Holy Spirit that calls us to show up to funerals with love and compassion. It's the Holy Spirit that calls us to lift one another up in ministry, as you have done for our family and so many. It's the Holy Spirit that calls us to be the church in times where it is easy and joyous, and in times when doing the work that God has called us to do as the church stretches us in ways that we never thought possible. It's the Spirit that calls us to be reconciling instruments to one another and to the world in the midst of the brokenness and the darkness that is out there. We are called to be the church, the hands and feet of Jesus, who the Spirit uses to make a difference in this world. I understood the Spirit working in community in a very powerful and transformational way in Belarus. The summer after my second year of seminary. Now granted, I was excited to go back to Belarus to see Rand, but I also had received a grant to study the movement of the Holy Spirit in the life of the church in Belarus. Because after the fall of the USSR, only very orderly religions were allowed to meet publicly. Denominations who could stay within the guidelines of what the government set out. And so there was the Orthodox Church and the Catholic Church and the Methodist Church and a few others. But there were people gathering all over that the Spirit was just working through to bring some freedom, some voice, and some life into the people in that country. And most of the missionary work was through connections with these evangelical, Pentecostal, non-denominational churches. And because of Rand, I was immediately trusted and welcomed. And I was asked to lead a woman Bible study in an apartment. Well, you know me, I'm all in. Yes, I'd love to. And then I started thinking, what would this look like? What in the world do I have to bring to this group of women in this oppressed country? They're giving their lives to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. Well, first of all, God had to humble me and remember, maybe this wasn't about me going to them. Maybe this is what they were going to teach me, and that the Spirit was in me and would work in me. And so I picked the passage of the loaves and fishes, because it reminds me that when we offer what we have, even when we feel it is way too small to make a difference in the world, God takes that offering, blesses it, and serves it abundantly into the needs of the world. So as Rand was translating this passage into Russian, all of a sudden responses just started coming out of everywhere. Responses in Russian and Belarusian dialects. And I was just called to listen. And soon those responses turned into prayer. And this rhythm, this life-pulsing rhythm of prayer began to happen. And it included speaking in tongues. And it included rapid chanting. And all of a sudden it came on my heart, this is what Pentecost looked like. That day when the people were gathered, and the Spirit just alighted them on fire and filled them. And that's who we're called to be. Despite the differences in language and the differences in our context, God brings us to be one body. When we gather together, the Spirit uses us to be the light and to be the hope and to be the love that God calls us to take out in this world. When we come together, we come as we are. Sometimes we walk through the doors to worship wherever we may be. Sometimes we come with broken hearts. And sometimes we come from places of pain and suffering. Sometimes we come not even knowing what we bring or what we're looking for. Sometimes we come just ready to celebrate with one another. Sometimes we come just to try to remember if God really loves us or not. And God takes what we bring together, and God lifts us up. He forgives us. He feeds us. He remembers us to God and to one another. And then he sends us out to feed others over and over. That is the life of the church, to come together and be restored so that we may go out and be witnesses of the love and the hope and the mercy of God. That is the call of the church, to be formed as disciples, to go as apostles. And when we do that through the power of the Holy Spirit, and we seek and serve Christ in all persons, and we strive for justice and peace, and we respect the dignity of every human being, and we tell people that they matter to God, and that we love them and God loves them, the world is transformed through us by the power of the Spirit. May we continue to let the Spirit ignite our hearts so that we may take the grace and love out into a world that is desperately hungry for it. May we be the church. Amen.